You just heard some more music by Simon Shack, author of September Clues. His documentary uncovered the most egregious errors made in the unified, centrally coordinated media broadcasts used to cover up the actual events of 9/11. This is the Clues Chronicle, Issue 2. This one is called Hi Clues Forum and the Possibility that Nobody Died in the World Trade Center Demolitions. In the last episode, I introduced this research, along with issuing my recommendations on how to cautiously address these topics so that you feel emotionally safe. Then we heard my interview with Simon Shack about how September Clues led to the media analysis discussion board, Clues Forum. If you listened to episode 1, hopefully you gained a few more tools to begin researching information sources for yourself, as harrowing as it can seem. Our hope is that sharing what we consider incredible results will inspire you to turn on your intuition and sharpen your senses. When one is prepared to turn off TV and tune into life, to make mistakes, to pick oneself up again and keep going, to feel alone sometimes, it is a great benefit to the world to make any simple observation about any subject at all from reality rather than from a simulation of reality. In this episode, we will talk more in depth of the discoveries about false 9/11 victim data, which led to the theory that nobody died on 9/11, why it was necessary to create a safe place to discuss this information, and why this podcast, The Clues Chronicle, seemed like a necessary step to continue to comment on our largely propagandized world. I highly recommend you listen to episode 1, but it's sufficient to summarize our show's disclaimer like this. 1. Turn off televisions. Tune into your intuition. Develop your own, non-televised, personal methods of figuring out who to trust and who not to trust. 2. If you start to feel bad or unsafe while researching these topics, stop. Take a break. 3. When you make new discoveries, talk about them with others. And now let's walk the talk. But first, some more rock. That was Consideration off of Simon Shack's band The Social Services' newest album, Relativity. The first part of this interview can be heard in the Clues Chronicle Part 1. The conclusion you are about to hear took place today, about a week after the first. We rejoined in Simon's kitchen to reflect on our experiences that led to Clues Forum and our attempts to reach the public with our information. My interview with Simon also partially became his interview with me about our friendship, our research, and what comes next. Now on with part two, recorded today, September 23rd, 2015. Hello.
Hello.
So it's been a week or so. Last time we talked about, we finished talking about how September Clues was made.
Yeah.
And we reflected a bit on the revelations of that and sort of what it means to the world to recognize that there's all this media fakery going on.
Right.
But before we came to those understandings, we were still making baby steps in that direction. And I understand that you actually, you know, you were sort of fighting with trying to spread this information in other places, such as 911researchers.com.
That's right, that's right. 911researchers.com was the at the time was the only forum where TV fakery was being discussed on the webs.
Was this late 2007 then, or
no, 2006 around the time during my as I was putting together September Clues really around the time and a little bit before I had already discovered it and started. Contributing to that forum, and it was founded by one Rick Siegel.
Oh no, not that guy.
Yes, Rick Siegel is he is the first. He founded the first online TV, apparently, which was called I think Online TV, and at the time I didn't even know what his background was. All I knew of Rick Siegel was that he had made this 9/11 eyewitness movie. You remember?
Oh, he claims to have seen the disaster in person.
He claims to have filmed it from Hoboken with his amateur video camera. And he made a whole huge 90 minutes movie, I think, where he simply films. His film doesn't contain any airplanes. It's the aftermath after the towers had been hit by the airplanes, apparently. So it is just a very quite dull and boring movie with him filming all over the river, the smoldering towers, the smoking towers, and he was making a big deal out of a helicopter which went over the towers, and apparently some flashes came from the helicopter, and that was meant to be something mysterious.
And so he allowed mysterious discussions of 9/11 on his forum.
That's right. That's right. So the whole forum where I started with contributing my first research was 911researchers.com. And I believe you weren't there.
No, I had no idea that this even existed until much later, until recent years, when you were telling me how you had bumped into this Rick Siegel guy online.
Yes, yes. Well, I was naturally drawn there because I think the only people talking about TV fakery and no planes was this Nico Hout, this guy who...
Wasn't he the guy who paraded around New York making really crazy comments and acting kind of insane and then mixing that in with no planes in order to make the discussion of no planes appear totally mad?
Precisely, precisely. He was this German-born, apparently, guy who looked a bit like a junkie and was disrupting all the truth assemblies in New York, New York City. So he was known to be a very loud guy who made crazy acts, and even on the street or in the tube stations, he would film himself being very... acting really crazy, so...
Well, that would turn off most people from even thinking about no planes.
That's right, that's right. The idea was quite obviously now. At the time, I didn't realize exactly how important these planted agents were, but that's what he was. He was the one who was supposed to be associated with any thoughts of TV fakery, and as I published at September Clues, he immediately wrote me an email saying that he had cried that night of happiness.
Yeah.
So as to make me feel, you know, we were friends then, of course.
Of course, yes.
We were on the same page.
It's the first stage of buddying up to you before stabbing you in the back.
Yes, yes. We, on his side was a lady called Web Fairy, who also had a blog with some really poor image analysis.
Wait, wasn't Web Fairy the person who said that she knew one of the so-called witnesses, Gary Welts?
Her hero was Edna Sintron, the lady which is depicted in one of these false images of 9/11, standing in the gash where the second plane apparently had hit.
Mm.
And she was standing in a gash, this blonde woman.
I remember, those were the Vixen pictures where they had two almost identical pictures of her, one with glasses and one without.
Yes, yes. And but this was at the early stages, so I really didn't know so much about their agenda. I was trying on my own to put together this September Clues movie, and as I said, the only place that allowed the discussion was 9/11research.com, because already then discussion about TV fakery, or no planes as they call it, was forbidden on places like Loose Change, which was, of course, at the time,
right. Yes, we went over
the leading truther movie.
Yeah.
And even later on, when I did publish September Clues, Loose Change had a little phrase saying, "No discussion about September Clues is allowed here."
Yes, that's right. And you can see a screen capture of that
on our forum. Yes, I did a screen cap of that. Fortunately, because then it disappeared, like many things disappear, which are only meant to do that.
Mm-hmm. Just throw people
serve
off.
A purpose for a while, and then they disappear.
Throw people off the scent, as it were.
Exactly. Now, All this to say that 9/11researchers.com, suddenly, after I had started developing and I was starting to... Well, I did publish September Clues in June 2007.
Okay, the first version.
That's right. And if I'm not mistaken, shortly after it went down. 9/11researchers.com went down.
How shortly? That's like a month or 2 months or...
As you may remember, I did my first little video called The Grand TV Illusion on YouTube.
Yes.
And then I started doing publishing by in parts, September Clues A, on live video on this other portal.
That actually is a perfect segue to how I first saw September Clues, if you don't mind.
Of course.
I was looking at videos like that, and one by 9/11 Octopus and... other researchers who had put videos together depicting the 9/11 show as a blue screen kind of spectacle. And it got me really thinking, because I thought, this could just be someone messing with my head. And I quickly became aware of a movement involved with Nico Haupt to kind of disgust people away, repel people away from research by mixing it in with sexual imagery and things. And
oh, you were noticing that.
I was noticing that. But September Clues stood out as being very level-headed and clear, and even though it took me a few viewings, it sank in, and then it just made me laugh. Of course, I didn't laugh to tears, but I was really pleased that after trying to confirm it for myself, I was able to at least prove to myself that I couldn't find a problem with the reasoning of September Clues, because there really were problems with the flight paths of the so-called airplanes, contradict, as well as their lighting and the lighting of the city. And I just couldn't at first believe how terrible it really was. Of course, it didn't really register at first that it had been good enough to fool everyone, and even me, at first.
And as you told me one day, you tried to reproduce the flight paths with wires.
Yes, I made...
Real life in your room or
yes,
something?
In my room I made two towers out of CDs, and which were roughly proportional to the twin towers. And I even looked at an overhead map to place them proportionally to each other. And yes, they're not perfect. The CD is not a perfect square, but it was within, I thought, within reason. And I had a wire that I was trying to bend to create the exact flight path, and I had a little paper sort of plane that I made to scoot it along and...
Sounds great.
And try to reconcile all the videos and all the pictures. But it wouldn't work.
It wouldn't work.
And it doesn't work.
Okay.
And in fact, there is a video online now, many years later, which tries to prove the path of the airplane, but you'll notice some tricks there where the dotted line actually warps as they're rotating the camera.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
They do things like this in order to kind of trip you up and make you not realize that the flight paths shown are completely not the same.
Well, they're trying to prove their artificial imagery with even more artificial imagery.
Yes, it's kind of a form of hypnotism and so forth.
Right.
So I had first seen Loose Change, and that got me sort of interested, but I was skeptical, as I am of all media, and kind of have always been. But September Clues just stuck in my head. It just, I couldn't disprove it. I could not disprove it. And then when I found people discussing it on livevideo.com and eventually elsewhere on the internet, including 9/11 movement.
Yeah.
It just made me realize that it was a good path, and I kept going on it, and I even made some of my own videos. I deconstructed the Nade movie.
Yes.
Not at 9/11.
Oh, yes. It was the first thing that impressed me of your efforts. You did this.
Thank you.
Movie which you had, you did this critique of the Nodé movie.
Yeah, and at the time I wasn't fully aware of simulated cities and things like that, but I was skeptical of what was being shown. I mean, they show in the towers in that movie, it seems to appear that they wrote 9/11 in the lights, in the windows, and they,
exactly.
And they made an explosion image in the windows, which is in just about the same shape as where the plane was supposed to appear the
amazing,
next day.
Amazing, isn't it?
I mean, there's just a number of things that show that it was a propaganda effort to put all this together.
But as we found out later, the entire movie was probably prefabricated.
Yes, and they had used set pieces and so on to reproduce New York. In fact, it was released on the air for the first time 6 months after September 11th, 2001, which would give them time for a few hours anyway, to do some lighting correction.
And just to remind the listeners, the Nodé brothers were the two guys, the two French guys who supposedly captured the first Flight 11, the first flight. And there was only this video available of this unexpected first flight.
Mm.
And only one other video emerged later by Pavel Plava. But anyway, this was the iconic clip which went on television, yet it was also included in their full feature movie produced by Paramount and Nextel.
Nextel was the telecommunications company which sort of presented it, and to me gave me a sense of unease about the whole propaganda piece, because it seemed to be a kind of advertisement for telecommunications industries. Mm-hmm. And I started getting this feeling that the whole thing was a move by the government to have people accept a greater technocratic rule over their lives.
Mm.
In any case, we sort of met over live video, and I remember messaging you. And
right.
Mm-hmm. As far as I recall, I really admired your work, and you said I was doing okay stuff. And
right. So that was, I had this question for you. How long did it take before you decided to contact me, and how long did it take before I gained your trust? Since you are notoriously quite suspicious of internet entities, which you are rightly.
Yeah. Well, I guess I should answer that in a few ways. One of them is because there was a few questions in there. One of them is sort of a question about how I became skeptical of people in general, and I would say that it was just my simple upbringing in a public school, encountering the way children sort of mess with each other and torture one another and psychologically mess with each other, and the way teachers try to corral that, and they play their own psychological game with the children to try to control them. And things would come out from kids' mouths that shocked me but interested me, like the idea that a nuclear bomb was fake, and I didn't understand how they had heard that or learned that. And they were explaining to me that imagery could be deceitful. And this was, you know, and I was still in single-digit years. So I've been sort of equipped just through, I guess you called it earlier, just street smarts, that I should beware of imagery and things.
That was a question. Did you have any previous experience of fakery in the news which may have helped you to accept the September Clues idea that they actually showed fake imagery on TV?
Well, I think it was just my skepticism that had been built up over time. I can think of a few instances where people pointed out specific things in the news that bothered them. As far as coming to trust you, I guess it just happened that you got by all my filters. I mean, I had quite a few of them. But your honesty and your earnestness just sort of broke that down eventually for me.
And we got to know each other on 9/11 movement then, with amongst other, they looked like good researchers, like Kiltown, who had compiled, he had done a big compilation of all the clips of 9/11. Suspicious, all the plane crashes and so on.
Yeah, Kiltown was an interesting character because he had formulated some arguments which, at first blush, to someone new to the research, seemed like very compelling, because they talk about things like, an entire plane disappearing completely into a field, which obviously couldn't happen in real life, and things like that. But to experienced researchers, eventually it became frustrating how Kiltown would stop at Shanksville and the Pentagon discussion. So this question of how do I trust people, how did I come to trust people, it just became for me a matter of judging their own thinking and saying, does this brain process things in a way that asks new questions, refreshing questions? Do they show fear of asking questions? Do they show poise when asking difficult questions? And so I guess the first time that I wanted to contact you was right after I saw September Clues, and it really hit home. I mean, for when it really did hit home for me, not the first time I saw it. So over time, I decided, being a kind of creative person myself, my form of creativity is I want to do like reveals. I want to make things and then reveal them and say, hey, look, this is a cool thing. I think I'm pretty sure I contacted you at least once more after I made the Super Naude Brothers, which was my title for the 9/11 critique, and said, take a look at this. You know, I wanted people to be surprised and happy that that this research was going on. I find it easier to write than to speak, and making video is also for me easier maybe than speaking off the cuff.
Same here.
I mean, media is definitely an interesting tool that we should learn. It's that we should learn about its power and its and the responsibility of using it. To borrow a cliche.
And responsibility.
We had encountered several characters. Speaking of the trust filter thing, at 911movement.org, which sometimes seemed good and sometimes seemed bad, and we thought we could identify the bad ones because a lot of them were coming over from Pump It Out. And they seemed to be characters that would give really bad arguments about perspective and use trickery in the language almost just to test us and see if we would fall for it. And when we didn't, and we would complain to the moderators like Kiltown, and I think another one was Slick, that was their handle, they would sometimes be able to say, yeah, okay, they have to expose themselves and then we'll ban them. And other times they would just tolerate it. So we got interested in this character, Kiltan, and we talked to him and chatted with him.
Well, at least he had produced a body of research.
Yes.
A website with lots of details. So, as I said, the various clips, which were many of them, or almost all of them, I eventually analyzed on September Clues.
Yeah. Part of our investigations became distinguishing between well-meaning people who only could go so far and people who deliberately tried to push back on good questions.
Mm. Yeah, well, Genghis was part of Pump It Out.
Yes, and Genghis apparently you met before I did, but was some kind of online personage who would really get angry about September Clues and say that it was nonsense, right?
But yeah, not... he was one of those who would use foul language. But maybe we already mentioned this, that Genghis was the first who took September Clues and put it up on YouTube.
Yeah, but now they're starting, hopefully, understanding. They're starting to understand that.
And then suddenly closed his channel after a few 100,000 views had been gathered on his channel. So suddenly, in the meanwhile, I had realized that Genghis was another one of these trolls.
Yeah.
So I finally put up September Clues on YouTube myself, because having it on live video was not good anymore, because live video closed down. Suddenly live video closed down a few weeks after it became number one in Italy.
After September Clues became number one in Italy. Yes, yes. That's, I mean, we keep running into these odd issues where we publish something and then
the
darn thing disappears on us. That happened with 9/11 movement too.
Very strange.
But before we get to that, I think we should definitely discuss what it is we were talking about at 9/11 movement and which brought us to our current body of research. It started with this idea that September Clues was all wrong, and people would come in with a bad argument, and we would show that the science holds true, the evidence holds true, that there's fakery involved in the creation of the simulated Manhattan.
Mm-hmm.
Then it became a larger question, sort of. What was actually in the towers at the time? Were they empty?
Mm-hmm.
And when we started to pry that one open, it seemed to create a rift in the forum.
Definitely, definitely.
And I think it may have even created a rift between more curious moderators like Kiltan and other moderators. But it still seemed okay. We could still ask these questions, who was in the towers. Let's list the companies. Let's look at who was supposedly employed there. Let's look at who supposedly died there.
Right.
But when I published extra reports on it,
mm-hmm.
as far as stuff that no one else had looked at,
yeah.
It was when we had already met and we had sort of been hanging out together. And
that's right, yeah.
And been deconstructing everything. So
I think also, were we already talking about the possibility that, of course, we knew there were no passengers on the non-existing planes.
Right, or that we thought somehow that, oh, these people had been misplaced, or, it seemed too easy for Loose Change to say, oh, they had all been taken somewhere and killed.
They were landed on some airport and... Yeah. Funneled into a NASA hangar,
yeah,
and killed off.
I mean, if you want to talk about conspiracy theories that aren't worth your time.
The logistics of that, killing off hundreds of passengers in a NASA hangar.
Yeah, I mean, go ahead and try to find where they found that information for yourself. But for us, it seemed unconvincing. So we started saying, well, what if they could just fake some of these identities? What would that look like? And so I just started going through... the alphabet. I started with the A's, yeah. And one by one just said, well, here's who they supposedly worked for, here's who they supposedly were, and so on. Here are the pictures. We were going with the official mainstream CNN mm-hmm. memorials, but if you looked hard enough, which didn't take too long, you would start seeing that different groups and different entities had collected a variety of different memorials with different lists of the dead.
Yes.
And none of them seems to be endorsed as official. In fact, the official stories seemed a bit too dodgy and vague about who exactly were these people, and that seemed very confusing. Yeah.
More simply, we should remind everyone that they were simply incompatible. The
Yes, there were names.
Names that were missing here, and other names that were added there.
Yes, there were added names, there were missing names,
right.
There were duplicate names.
Exactly.
There were duplicate names with different pictures, even though they were the same identity rather than two people with the same name.
And remember, this was already 5-6 years after 9/11.
It almost seems so sloppy that we thought, what have we encountered here?
Yeah.
What is it that we're looking at?
You would have thought that after 5, 6, or 7 years, they would have at least have consistent memorials all over the States. And we're talking about quite official memorials, the CNN memorial. What was the other name? The America...
America Remembers, is that it?
Yeah, and, I mean, there were a series of the Fox Memorial. They were all quite official memorials, which had completely inconsistent names on them.
Including the ones that you mentioned, Diana Lai and Justin Alai.
Exactly.
Which sounds a bit like Justin Alai, you're dying in a lie. It seems
Justin
very...
Justin Alai and dying a lie.
Yeah.
It Diana Alai.
Almost like
just... Just in a lie.
It seems like
Justin.
They're teasing people, really.
Really.
So anyway, we were looking at all this when I said, well, I have an opportunity to come to Italy. I have an opportunity to meet you. Would that be all right? And Simon has always invited researchers to come to his home. So.
Yeah, I've done that because I thought that was the only way to... kind of trying to supersede the problem that we are always anonymous people over the interwebs. We don't see each other face to face. So I just said, what the heck, let me invite the people I feel are trustworthy. And I was lucky enough to invite you. Most of the other people have been good, and it's been very interesting to meet these different people, as we said, or maybe we said it before, a couple of them or three turned out to be a bit of, some kind of trolls. But that hasn't made me step back, and I keep inviting people.
I think that's good. I think you're doing a good thing, because otherwise we wouldn't have met really in person.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
thank you for being brave and letting me show up. And
thank you for accepting the invite.
Well, anyway...
Otherwise, because it's important, I really have to say this. Yeah. I would not have been able to... What we are going to talk about now is Reality Shack and then Clues Forum.
Yes.
I didn't have the proficiency to even make a forum on the internet or a website.
We've borrowed each other's skills in doing this, and that's really the important thing. And getting through the tough part of actually coming to trust people. I mean, and it sometimes sometimes a personality doesn't sort of kick into their true colors aren't shown for a while. Like we had this character Ozzy Bin Oswald and his sort of partner Fred, and we thought they were good. They even followed us from 9/11 movement to
They were from day one inserted in. Into the scheme, which goes back also to Nico Haupt, I think Ozzy Bin Oswald was there from day one, doing his job of misdirecting anyone who would come close to the image fakery truth.
Yeah, he would try to present really bad arguments and even create imagery that no one had seen of 9/11 and then say, you see, this is something that you can destroy. But it was like straw man. It was obviously cloned images, obviously...
Just the classic muddy the waters tactic.
Right. Instead of revealing the computer technology or the simulation, which is a much more likely candidate for faking a city, it was very easily debunked. But we just sort of said, well, he's supporting us. It's okay. We won't really pay attention to that. We'll pay more attention to these people who are giving us a hard time.
Mm.
And in that way... they were clever because then they attached these characters to us.
Mm. And what is Ozzy Bin Oswald doing now?
Well, he's saying that he...
Well, he's over at Let's Roll and he's the most rabid, rabid attacker of our work.
Yeah, he says he has evidence that that I am the same person as you, or something like that.
Yes. Just to be clear with our listeners, I mean, it was so evident that at one stage that Ozzy Bin Oswald, which was the guy who I remember him since the old days at 9/11 researchers come, and then he went on, he followed, went just like me. I went over to 9/11 movement, And then he was one of the first to register on our new reality check.
Yes, and now we can talk about how that happened, right?
Yeah.
So we were conducting research together. We were finding all sorts of strange things about the victims and the city. Simon was focusing more on the city fakery, the bad shadows, the impossible crowd scenes. And I was focusing more on the impossible names and really ridiculous memorial pictures and things. So when we were working together, we were deciding how we were going to present this information. When we published the information on victims.
It went down after we did these posts.
That's right. Yeah. When we finally said, you know what, here's a compilation of all our research into the funny pictures, and it's actually the best evidence we have that no one died on 9/11 in any so-called terrorist attack.
And that was the moment that...
That's when 9/11 movement went...
Just went
down.
Yeah.
And I remember I was trying to sleep, and you came into the room and you said, "Hey, it's shut down." And I went down, and sure enough, it was gone. I mean, at first I thought, yeah, it goes down once in a while. They say they have problems. Mm-hmm. But really, they had pulled it.
Pulled it, yeah. With the pretext that Slick's wife, one of the administrators called Slick, his wife was apparently annoyed with the forum, and so to please his wife, closed it down. So that's the reason given. Have you heard another reason for that forum disappearing?
No, I think we even were in contact with Kiltown afterwards, and Kiltown said, "It's not in my power. Mm-hmm. I can't even get a backup. It's all gone."
Yeah.
And it will be gone. And so we asked Kiltown if he'd like to please research with us about the fake victims and things. And he seemed a bit, it was maybe out of his league or something.
Yeah.
He decided, "I'm just going to stick to Shanksville is fake, the Pentagon is fake. Those two airplanes could not have ever crashed. That's ridiculous. But the other stuff, I can't go there, I won't go there." And that was his stance, and that's fine. And to this day, I really don't know what's become of Kiltown, but...
Well, it's fine, but up to a point, because when you have this sort of evidence we have dug out over the years and just disappear, because I think Kiltown, I haven't heard from him for a long time.
Yeah, it makes you wonder.
Then it makes me wonder whether he was just part of this ready-made... club who was there
representing
dampen the regulation of TV fakery, of fake imagery, and they would go just that far.
Yes.
And of course the fake victims would never be allowed to be revealed.
Right.
Because that's the core magic trick of this so-called terror attacks in the world, where no Western people are supposed to die.
Sure, that's the theory that we came to be confident about all the time. Mm-hmm. It's possible, you know, that maybe someone died, but the evidence seems strongly in favor of not, because it doesn't seem like they would risk that that one real problem of investigation.
No, I think the number one objective was zero deaths. So if someone died because he stood too close to the demolition, okay, that's a working accident. But I don't see them letting in, 100 people? Just, you know, "Oh, you can go in this morning, go, go, go."
Yeah,
and
yeah.
"We won't tell you that we are going to bring down these towers, but you are our enemies. Walk into the towers now and we'll kill you off."
Yeah.
That doesn't make sense to me at all.
Even though we researched that the 93 so-called bombing, which had evacuated the towers in the first place, and it seemed like many of the companies were very connected to government things anyway, like Oracle Computing, which is perfectly capable of fabricating databases of identities.
Sure. Well, hold on. They evacuated the tenants, the whole towers, after the 93 bombing.
Yes. Okay. So, Simon... Without interrupting each other, because we're so excited about all the research that we found, maybe we can take turns telling stories about what it is that we found and that they found so threatening that they had to pull the plug on 9/11movement.org.
Yes, of course.
Well, it has to do with our findings that the victims were fictitious.
And the city was entirely fictitious as well. The city was actually simulated.
That's right, and that was another video I made after the main movie, September Clues, which is called September Clues Addendum, where I had started realizing that the entire city had been simulated for the purpose of selling this story.
I can. Go ahead.
And including the tower collapses.
Yes, and the rubble piles afterwards were largely fictitious as well. As they merged with the.
Well, not largely, entirely, because you can't do this halfway, you know.
Well, until they allowed people to take pictures, you know, some months afterwards. After they said, okay, now we're sort of stepping out of the area, and you know, real pictures will be allowed now.
But the official story says that just one photographer was allowed into the rubble of Ground Zero. This Joel Majerowicz.
Yes. However, you made an important discovery about a sort of high energy or high frequency blocking technology, which allows the military to jam real photography and real video and cell phones.
That's a very, very simple and not, it's not an outlandish technology. It's called HERF.
Mm-hmm.
And it can selectively disable temporarily electronic circuitries, which was the main thing they needed. They didn't want videos of this. Anyone who had a video camera, but as you know, there were no cell phones with video cameras at the time. They came out in 2002.
Mm.
So they were just concerned to control the video aspect of this. Because even if you have an analog camera, with an analog camera you could only take still pictures. And still pictures wouldn't reveal anything, because there were no planes, there was nothing that hit the towers.
We also learned that they had cordoned the streets. They had sort of made it so that it was difficult to get there, and they had people shooing people away immediately.
Yes,
and people were fleeing immediately. So,
oh yes, I mean the lower Manhattan is simply the end of a peninsula, which is extremely controllable for a military operation like this obviously was. So it wasn't that hard to keep people from being close to the place.
Well, I have a story as well. When we were looking at the victims, we discovered that in the official CNN memorial, in the official CNN memorial, 40% have only one single comment in their profile. And often it's not even someone claiming to be a relative or a friend. Another 40% have no picture, even though pictures are available online. If you search, you can find some grainy, awful picture that looks terrible and looks like it was deliberately made worse to mask that Photoshop.
Yes, well, now you are getting close to probably the main issue which they need to totally cover up, that's simulated victims.
Yes, and they're also, just as people have theorized simulated terrorists and simulated heroes in the firefighters that supposedly all set up shop underneath the burning towers and then rushed in together to save the supposed number of people that were dying in the towers.
No firefighters were invited to assist to this demolition job.
No, they were invited to assist by lying about their campaign, basically.
Yeah, yeah. And as we saw, as we've seen on the rubble imagery, they have evidently inserted these firefighters walking upon the rubble. There are some pictures which evidently show that they absolutely needed to make people to sell the story that the firefighters were the heroes of the day.
They even used actors to do so. They used Steve Buscemi, who claims to have been a good friend. They had Robert De Niro, Billy Crystal, and those people are on the board of the directors for the memorial. So it's all very tied in with Hollywood and
absolutely
this kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah. Robert De Niro did a cameo appearance in the No Day movie. And,
yes.
Actually making an intro, which was later deleted in another version. But anyway, there is a version on the No Day movie with Robert De Niro talking in a firehouse.
Yeah,
he's introducing the movie.
Yeah, he stands in front of even the rubble pile 6 months later.
Right.
And where they have already started construction of the base for the next structure. And yeah, it's all... I mean, basically what we were finding is one piece after another that was tying it all together. Hollywood is involved. Actors are heavily involved.
Right.
They're even going around and touring and saying, oh, we want the truth about our dead friend or our dead cousin.
Obviously,
or
very, very low-level actors, which no one has ever known about. I mean, they are anonymous third grade.
They've profited they've profited from truth films like The Jersey Girls, which is supposedly is about the mothers demanding truth.
Yeah, they were the first family members who made a big fuss at the 9/11 commission and were asking questions because they had to be there to reinforce the idea that there were mourning families.
And during all this time, when there's supposedly the families of 3,000 or so supposed victims, there aren't any people really showing up. They aren't complaining to us.
No.
We have not had one single legitimate, credible person say asking us for help, to help them find out what's going on.
In all of 6 years since... The Vixen report was published.
There hasn't been media coverage of this. There hasn't been media coverage of the fact that almost nobody shows up for the supposed anniversaries.
Right.
And where you would expect thousands of people
of course.
Crammed into something like this if they were truly invited and it was really made palatable for them.
Mm-hmm.
And again you see the same people going through the motions of official things. What shall we do for the victims? How shall we compensate them? Only to find that the money is just shifting hands between government bodies or towards private contractors to rebuild and so on.
That's right. If you think that an average $2 million came out for each supposed victim, can you imagine the... There was a profit for everyone who was involved in this scam.
There's also tons of memorial scams. People raising money for some baseball league or some college house or something. But they just raised tons and tons of money from people donating out of the goodness of their hearts, thinking they're giving to the living memory of some kind of important historic event.
That's right.
Yeah. Totally unaware that they've basically just thrown their money towards the very people perpetrating the scam. And that part is sickening.
It is. Well, there is, yes, it is sickening to think about it, but evidently they are getting away with it because of the emotional weight of the whole event, which was sold to us as a terrorist event.
As Lennon Honor says, people are traumatized.
Yeah.
They have a hard time actually talking about it, because even bringing it up makes people reimagine events.
Yeah, you see, when you were here and in 2009, here in my house, and we were working at this supposed victims of 9/11, I had high hopes that this would, when I started realizing that we were on the right track, I thought, well, this will be very good for 9/11 truth, because people will now not have the emotional...
The emotional barrier to actually research
yes, exactly. To question the inside job. There were many people questioning 9/11 and saying it was an inside job, but not going further because they were fearful of offending the families of the victims.
Well, as long as we're talking about our naivety, I also thought that releasing the Vixen report would somehow automatically create a clamor for lawsuits. Mm-hmm. It would create a clamor for people to organize themselves, start investigating it. But instead, it's like we stepped into this silent gap where no one wanted to go.
Because it is obviously the last taboo of 9/11. This will never be revealed. They're reinforcing this day by day. At each anniversary, they have some new big story for people to cling on to.
And they keep building new sites, too. For example, some victims... which used to have only one or two pictures online, now may have a whole memorial page. And it seems as though their plan from the beginning was to say, well, people don't pay attention quickly enough, so over time we'll build up the backstories and interconnect them, interlace them with other stories, such as, you know, Boston bombing or some other psychological event.
Yeah.
And that way people will never be able to question it, because it becomes a network of their entire reality, because they depend too heavily on the news for their reality.
Oh, that's well put. Yeah, you know, as I said, they are grinding in stone the fact that the people die today, and maybe you don't know, but on Friday, this Friday, Pope Francis will visit the National Museum and Memorial at Ground Zero, and people have been selected by a lottery to attend. So
can we go?
It's too late.
Why?
The lottery was closed in August, and now there are this selected group of people who will be allowed to attend the papal visit.
I see. So it's probably more about the Pope than 9/11, really. But they're using his popularity to try to draw more attention back to 9/11.
Of course.
We must
never forget.
Right, which is also tied into many of the so-called comments. There's so many interesting, funny comments. If you just go to CNN.com's 9/11 memorial, you can read comment after comment that was written so artificially and so jingoistically with the, you know, we'll never forget, and you were such a smiling angel, and remember those, you know, bad people can never harm America's true soul.
It gets hilarious in the end.
Right, like the guy who comments on his own profile even though he's supposed to be dead, or things like that. No,
comments from paradise.
Yes, it just gets absurd. Anyway, this is why they had to shut us down. This is why, when we were discussing it, it was getting too close, I think. Because we were unveiling their operation, and we were basically saying, hey, these people who are supposedly interested in the truth are actually part of the problem.
Yes.
And that was too much, and they had to shut it down.
That was too much. That was, really, as I say, flying over the target, I think. So, obviously... So
we had septemberclues.info, so we thought that we could just have that and just keep it.
The website.
Yes, which was just a summary of the
research. But then 9/11 movement closed down also. Mysteriously, so we thought we could only now, if we wanted to express our research on the internet, we had to do our own forum.
So the first thing we did was we set up a forum that was like the original, that was at 9/11 movement, but that was Zeta Boards, and that was a free service where you can just set up a topic, and Zeta Boards supposedly runs it and moderates it. Unfortunately, that meant that we were kind of getting, what do they call that, Stockholm Syndrome. The same people that were shutting down the first one were targeting us on the second. And also we had the problem of, which we didn't recognize was a problem at first, people who were very suspicious, like Ozzy Bin Oswald and Fred, coming over from the first forum into our forum, saying, you know, we're just continuing the research with you.
Sure. Well,
and they did for some time.
Of course. Their job was to follow us wherever we ended up.
And kind of continue to steer us. But as we grew wise to this, we said, look, the only way we're going to be able to do this and to prevent copyright claims from these people who are just making up stuff about, oh, you're using the media's imagery, so you're not allowed to critique it, and they would try to shut down our forum over that. Was to start our own, really. Start our own website and install our own forum. So luckily, we came across, I won't say their real name, but Nono Capito was their handle.
Yeah.
And Nono Capito was extraordinarily helpful in getting us on board with sort of a real PHP bulletin board system.
Yeah, well, he's one of the people I've invited here. He's from Italy, northern Italy. Very smart guy, and... He was very proficient with his PHP matters, and so we were able to make our own forum as we wish to do it, the way we wish to have it in our best control, all although in the end we also run into problems with our servers, which you can you may explain with more detail.
Yeah, so in the case of the original Zeta boards, we received a notice from Zeta boards authority saying, we're going to have to shut down your forum unless you remove this copyrighted picture. When we asked to receive notice of who was complaining about this, they refused. And so we just packed up and left. However, we thought that when we got our own forum, this wouldn't be a problem. Well, we forgot that we're still relying on an outside host.
Yeah.
They also buckled and kicked us off and said, you know, you have to get out of here. So we finally found Nearly Free Speech, which is a place where you just pay per gigabyte and in bandwidth and pay per storage and things. And it's a
that's where we are now. But you forgot to mention, it wasn't a copyright claim that closed down when we were on Bluehost. When we were on Bluehost, we were closed down by a claim from Matt Campbell.
Ah, yes, that's right. Which was kind of phrased towards Bluehost as copyright, but in fact, it was someone claiming to be the relative of a victim.
Yes.
Who had been receiving packages of...
No, his brother's body. Matt Campbell claims to have lost his brother, Geoff Campbell, and he claims he goes around touring with the Architects and Engineers for Truth in Great Britain.
Mm.
He's actually acting as a 9/11 truther.
Yes.
And he's angry because he wants the truth about his brother dying on 9/11.
Mm.
And he states this, that he has been receiving in Britain, in the UK, piecemeal parts of his brother sent by the medical examiner's office in New York, which is led by Charles Hirsch, which we have talked about on the forum. And Charles Hirsch is the chief medical officer of the morgue of the coroner of New York. And his story, Charles Hirsch's story, is itself a funny story, because he claims to have rushed to the towers when it all happened, and set up a makeshift triage place for you know receiving the dead people there just underneath the towers. And he was submerged by the rubble. And according to which news story you prefer to believe in, he either broke one rib or all of his ribs. But he continued working like a hero all day long, into the night.
Yeah, that's a pretty incredible story. But you have your selection of incredible stories in the 9/11 Tall Tales. There's, you know, 10,000 victims dead, 2,700,
yeah.
3,100. It all depends on how you want to see it. And if you actually try to use forensics on any of this evidence, you quickly see how hollow and vaporous it all is. When we set up the new place, they apologized and said, oh, we didn't really mean to attack the truth.
Because don't say they. Call him by his name. Matt Campbell. Matt Campbell apologized because he, being a 9/11 truther, apparently, he has to appear.
But do you believe that's his real name, or do you believe that's the name that he has used?
That's the name he's giving us, so we have to work with that one. And he needs to appear, at least to the general public, as a sincere truth seeker. So that's why he apologized. But
yes.
He effectively closed down our forum and caused lots of aggravation.
That's right. And I think that in the future, we shouldn't have as much problem with that, because now when we go to a host, we explain the situation. Now, we just don't deal with them if they can't show some understanding about how sensitive it is to have to deal with essentially a kind of government spook occasionally trying to turn down the volume on our research.
That's it. Sometimes I have people watching September Clues and commenting and saying, how come they leave this information online? How come they don't pull it down? Well, they have, in some way, they have at least limited the access to my videos. And you know,
I think without making it obvious to the public, they've been quietly sniping at us a little bit with these things.
Yeah.
They took down your synced out video.
They took down twice my last video, which I consider, and I still consider, the most important one, because it is simply the compared first 11 minutes of the day where we have the planes and comparing all the different channels. And that was taken down twice. We have maybe mentioned this before, but maybe it's worth mentioning
again. It's worth repeating that basically there is an ongoing campaign to try to, for lack of a better word, censor this information. Yeah. But there is still freedom, but you know, we're working on keeping it freedom, because there are many campaigns seemingly trying to make it more difficult to talk about matters that are important to humanity.
Yeah, so where do we go from here, I would ask. Do you have any ideas or suggestions of how to pursue the all-important vixen issue? Is there any field work that can be done to see if we can find these people?
Well, I guess when I made the Vixen Report, I was hoping that there would be a group of people just naturally sort of interested in running around and trying to corner these people that are lying and ask them questions. But the journalists certainly aren't interested in it. And so I guess we can only hope that people who hear this broadcast might take a greater interest in protecting their community from this nonsense, and sharpen their senses, and pay attention to their own perspective, and build up their critical thinking skills. Put on their thinking caps and go out there and do some research.
Right.
Because the news reporters have let us down. They've let us all down.
But people have to realize that there has been a great word-of-mouth operation, which has made so that many people spread around, not only the United States, but even in Europe, they think they know someone who died in the towers. It's some sort of scheme has been run to have as many people as possible have some sort of connection, distant or friend of a coworker or the neighbor of this and that. So there are people who will dismiss our entire research just because they have someone maybe living close by in the same town
who claims to have a cousin or something.
Who claims to have a cousin or a neighbor or a coworker who died that day.
The thing is, and there are people who claim direct relationship to someone who died or someone who witnessed it, mm-hmm. or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And the hardest thing, I think the biggest struggle in this research is actually not getting people to understand that imagery is the greatest deception tool for the liars, but that the even more troubling fact is that our own friends and family are involved in presenting this false information.
Well, not our families. Hopefully, I mean.
But the listeners' families, maybe.
Yeah. Yes, well, especially people working in the military, or if you have friends working in the military in America.
And how are we expected to?
We're under a gag order, obviously.
Right, but how are we expected to question these people? It's really up to the individual, and that's just one of the hardest aspects of this research, and one of
sure.
the hardest conclusions
sure.
to draw is that it's not exactly that we're focusing on one great big centralized problem.
Mm-hmm.
It's more like a problem that's very diffused.
Yeah.
It's a problem that humanity has and needs to somehow overcome by recognizing that TV is a weapon of mass distraction, and
yes.
also recognizing that people yeah. are capable of lying for money or to protect their family or to protect
yes.
their friends.
Oh, yes. And they will know that. The myth of whistleblowers is what it is. It's a myth.
Yeah.
You won't find whistleblowers among the people who have been making money out of this. And
in 9/11, we haven't found
protect themselves and their families.
Yeah. Unfortunately, in 9/11, we haven't found a real whistleblower yet. I do believe whistleblowers can happen, and of course, we hope that if enough people wake up, we can create a situation where whistleblowers are more likely to be protected when they actually come out about this. But because this involves police force, military, and authority figures, we have to make sure that enough people wake up, and hopefully you, the audience, can also help people wake up to this. And that is what will probably turn the tide on this fakery.
Yes, hopefully. We just hope also that the realization that it's not only 9/11, but there are many other hoaxes which have been sold to the public by
the same network, as you call them,
the nutty network
of clowns who basically go around trying to create history.
The powers that be, as they call also.
They try to create history. They try to create science,
and they use fabricated imagery very heavily. This is their main tool to fool the masses with. Fake imagery, fabricated, whatever you want to call it. They've used it for their moon landings.
The recent bombings, all the terrorist events.
The atomic bomb tests are absolutely ridiculous. All the tests are evidently made in a studio. That we even know where they probably made them, in Lookout Mountain Studios, which was...
In Laurel Canyon area.
In Laurel Canyon
which
area.
Is, yeah, it all, usually it ties back to Hollywood and to the people who have been... founding organizations that are supposedly connected to science.
It's very much Hollywood. Hollywood has much bigger importance than anyone will ever admit right now.
Yeah, there's this strange phenomenon where people talk about nothing but Hollywood and celebrities and things like that, and they think that that's not on purpose. They think that, oh, actually, I don't talk about serious issues. I don't talk about politics. I just like to go escape in my fantasy land.
Yeah.
But it escapes them that actually... the majority of people are the same. And certainly the powers that be recognize this and know that the way to control people isn't necessarily through politics. That's the way to control, you know, a few awakened people who are activists. But the real way to control people en masse is their entertainment.
Yes. And disaster movies, which everyone has seen, hundreds of disaster movies made by Hollywood, where special effects can make entire cities crumble, and we don't go away from the cinema thinking that that was real, all right?
I don't think anybody does. Unless you're truly foolish, yeah.
But strangely enough, people will believe exactly everything that's shown on TV because...
When it's presented in a slightly
news
different way.
In a news format, they will not be able to even...
they can't even entertain the idea that the same technology can be used for a different reason.
Well said, thank you. And that's what we have to... start doing. We have to entertain, or at least be aware that the incredible Hollywood techniques which we see on all these disaster movies and special effects that they can do are used to propagandize the whole world.
Another one added to those is the fake shootings going on, which is trying to make people all scared about guns and things.
Yeah, it's all about fear-mongering and probably about also...
But we'll go into those.
They don't want people to have guns. That's also, I think, one of the motives. But it's mostly they know that they will always stay in power as long as we let them tell us their fables. As long as they are in charge of creating, fabricating the news and our reality, they know that they will always control us, and we will just continue working like most people say. Oh, I can't care about this, this conspiracy stuff. I don't want to live in this world. It's too scary. But what we are saying is there's the exact opposite thing. It's not a scary world. It's just a stupid world. It's a world that's being fooled.
Yeah, so bad things happen.
We have to be. We have to take it with humor in a strange way. But I think humor will help us.
Yeah, bad things happen, but maybe some of them that are designed too perfectly for a melodrama or to push some legislation through, don't actually happen. And I think that when we go over the Clues Forum post, which is the purpose of this podcast. We'll explore some of those other events. But I think that sums up 9/11 and how we came to all this research pretty well.
Yes, sure.
So thank you very much for your time.
Thanks to you.
And see you later.
Okay, see you.
That was music by The Social Service, Simon's band, along with our discussion of the latest discoveries in 9/11 research. I hope you enjoyed that, and I hope you gained some strength and resolve from our words as well. In the next episode, we will put our show into full throttle and summarize the best discoveries, observations, and research posted at Clues Forum, starting with tips and tricks of how to detect paid agents infiltrating your discussion groups, online or even in person. That's all for now. Here's Simon to give you a little music therapy as you adjust back to your regularly scheduled programming. As we navigate the world of media, remember reality is important too. And let's keep it real together.
Flowing out of your teeth.